Next Step 269, August 1st, 2013.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. Hey, are you ready? You ready to go back in time and then polish it up for today? Well, we go back in time. We go as the first Christian nation, Armenian Orthodoxy, comes to you today, polished up for today. That polished look is Armadoxy. And we're bringing it to you, right into your homes, into your MP3 players, into the earbuds, through this podcast. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Hey, it's great to have you with us today. I am broadcasting from Epostle East and in the beautiful outdoors. It is a beautiful day, and I thought I'd take advantage of some of this Southern California heat. It's also the sun kind of like changes your mood. I am in an unusual funk today. Now, before you get excited, I do appreciate you looking after my welfare. I got a good last time I said that, I kind of got a bunch of emails and some calls even. Are you okay? Yeah, I am fine. I am fine. Thank God everything's going well. You know, as I always say, better than most, not as good as some. But hey, you know, who's complaining over here? It's a beautiful day. And when I've got you, the audience, it's really nice to have people that care and call up and say, hey, how are you doing? But I have to admit, it is a very, very unusual funk that I'm in. Actually, some stuff happened. Let me start off with it right at the top. You know, maybe we could be done with it. But Sunday, I learned of four different funerals that are taking place. Very, very unusual circumstances. I got out of service and heard about one of them, the other. And when is it? When can I help you? Okay, when? And so basically it all came down to August 1st, today. Four funerals all on the same day that I'm involved with. And it gets to you. It gets you. Now, 30 years I've been a priest, I've never had it like this, where they're all on the same day. In fact, there was a fifth one that came up right after service, and a dear parishioner of ours, Father Vazquez, would you help out? My dear friend has lost his mother. Can you do a funeral? I said, absolutely, I'll help out for your sake. And because, you know, usually in the kind of work that I'm doing over here right now, I don't get too much chance to do services as much as the counseling aspect. And so I said, any time. And they told me, well, we want the funeral on Thursday. And I just had to, like, kick back and say, wow, what is going on? What is the popularity of this Thursday, of this August 1st date? But I had to refuse that one and still ended up with four of them for today. So it does wear at you, you know. it does get to you psychologically. And so sometimes when I tell you I'm in a weird funk, you got to kind of understand it's very difficult. I love this ministry that I have, the idea that I go from cradle to grave with people. You know, in other words, we are there at the birth. We are there for their baptisms, and we are there for their funerals. And this is very exciting. I feel like so blessed that God has given me this honor to be able to walk with people during some very difficult times in their lives, as well as the joy. But it does wear at you, especially being able to switch those hats, to switch those expressions. Let me be honest. To be able to go from a laugh to a cry, to be able to go from sadness to a joy. It is difficult because you do feel people's pain. You do experience joy and laughter with people. And you know, there's so many dimensions in this. So I hope you'll bear with me today. I do want to get through this next step because a beautiful spiritual revelation took place for me this week that I felt I was hoping that by today I would be able to write it. I haven't written it down, so I'm going to walk you through it, and hopefully in walking you through it, I'll walk myself through it and get through it. What am I talking about? Well, just a minute, okay? Listen, and then tonight I'm going to be speaking at the diocese where there is the kickoff of the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. What? Yeah, 100th anniversary, yeah. 2015. It'll be 100 years that the Armenian Genocide took place, and 100 years that so many different things took place. Yeah, it's easy to be cynical, but it's more difficult to take the higher road and say that, yeah, in 100 years, a lot of progress, too, as a nation, as a people. And I'm trying to shape my thoughts for tonight, so you may hear a little bit of that coming through too, because I gotta be, again, from the four funerals, gotta change the expression and be upbeat tonight. So it is a challenge, okay? Let's say it that way. And like I always like to say, we're better than most, not as good as some. And by saying that, kind of gives me the energy. So with that, let me start off with something that took place just last Sunday, actually. And it was during the celebration of the Divine Liturgy, and I wrote it down. I had a little piece of paper there. It was so profound that I needed to write it down. So I wrote down what happened that morning. And I wanted to share that with you. But in doing that, let me preface it by saying at what moment this was. In the Divine Liturgy, as the priest is celebrating, he is preparing the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Communion, for the distribution of the people. And it begins with the Liturgy of the Word, where we read the Holy Scriptures, and then, of course, the profession of our faith. And then the gifts are brought to the Holy Altar. And as the bread and the wine is brought, there is a opportunity for us to proclaim to one another that Christ is in our midst. And this is called the Kiss of Peace, taking its name from the epistle of St. Paul, in which he says, greet one another with the holy kiss. And so there I was at the holy altar and celebrating, reading the prayers, preparing the Holy Eucharist, and we came time for the kiss of peace. And the way this works is one deacon approaches the priest who is at the altar. He has received the gifts, and he tells the deacon, the priest confers to the deacon the kiss of peace, saying that Christ is in our midst. Christos imech medhaid netzav, in Armenian. And the deacon then takes it and distributes it to the congregation, first to the clergy that are at hand, as well as to the choir and the congregation that is there. So here we are last Sunday, and I had just officially pronounced that Christ is in our midst. And at our church in Glendale at the youth ministry, I've got to say it's so cool because you actually see it as a wave among the people. You see this little hum, this buzz going around from people to people. And thank God we've gotten away from that stiffness of, you know, going up to people as if we're mafia hitmen with our hands on our hearts. Actually, many times you'll see people actually embracing and hugging one another with the good news that Christ is in our midst. So as this is going on, of course, my head was also on my immediate family member, one of which was my son, Varujan, who is going to be leaving for Argentina just today. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. We're packing up the day, aren't we? He's going to be leaving for Argentina. And I saw him. He was playing organ that day. So I looked over at him and I saw him getting into the tunes, and my heart went out because, yeah, sometimes we forget the organist. We forget the workers of the church. Many times I feel this as the priest. You know, we counsel, we help, we reach out to so many people, but who really reaches out to the priests? Who really reaches out and counsels and assists the priests in their spiritual difficulties? And so in the 30 years I've been a priest, though, this is something that I've been very conscious of. And so whenever I get a chance to be with other priests, to be able to talk with them, to share with them some of the intimate conversations that we have about our ministry. And so there I was at the holy altar, looking up at the altar and looking and hearing the buzz in the congregation. Christ is in our midst. And I looked over at my son, Varujan, and I noticed that no one had taken the kiss of peace to him. So I motioned to one of my deacons standing there, and I said, "Don't forget Varujan." And so he turned around right away, and he gave the kiss of peace to him. Christ is in our midst. And that got to me. That's when I started writing. We give the kiss of peace in our church to the congregation, to people who are present. Where should that kiss of peace be delivered? Well, outside of that congregation, too. I mean, it's so obvious. We who are inside know that Christ's presence is there. And we're choosing Christ's presence. But where is it needed? Where is that kiss needed more than anywhere else? Inside or outside? Well, certainly we who are there are an open audience, an open target, and want it, have come there to receive it. But think of the opportunity outside. Think of the many people who never get a chance to hear the kiss of peace, who never get to be kissed, never get to be embraced, who never get that beauty of knowing the warmth of God. And that's what hit me this Sunday. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's what we call outreach. It is why we have outreach programs within the Christian church. Because Christ doesn't belong inside the church alone. He belongs to the world. He needs to be delivered to the world. The kiss needs to be taken out to the world. We need to embrace and kiss a waiting world that is seeking that, that is looking for that. And interestingly enough, no sooner had I thought about this, I'm writing this down as quick as I can because I said, okay, here is a message that I want to get out. And we had just read the gospel message of the day, which happened to be John 3:16. God so loved the world. It's unusual this year because we have a long span between two feast days, one of them being the Transfiguration and the other one being the Assumption. Usually, ordinarily, there's about 2 or 3 weeks. But this year, because of the calendar, because of the seasons of the moon, turns out that at the early July was Transfiguration, and past mid-August is the Assumption. So you've got about 6 weeks in between. And according to the rules of the church, when it goes beyond those 3-week designation, we revert back to a couple of these earlier readings from earlier in the year. And so there it was, John 3:16. And what is he talking about? The light of the world. The choosing of light over darkness. And you got to think about that for a moment. The light, if you have it, if you have Christ, What do you got to do with that light? You need to deliver it to the darkness so that darkness doesn't win, so that darkness does not prevail, so that the darkness is lit up. So it just kind of like flowed. It was a very interesting flow of events, of ideas. As the Kiss of Peace, we went and we distributed it to the congregation that was waiting inside. I noticed that it had to be given beyond ourselves. There are people who get overlooked. There are people who are outside of the congregation, and they all are deserving, and probably, arguably, you could say, are in need of that kiss more than the people inside. You have the light of the world in your midst. Christ is in our midst. Christos imech med aidnetzav. He's been revealed in our midst. What's your obligation at that point? To reveal it beyond yourself. And this is the push for outreach. Sometimes in Orthodox or within Catholic Church, or more, let's be realistically, more in the Orthodox tradition, this idea of outreach is foreign, but it is a very integral part of the actual Christian message, that the message doesn't belong inside, it belongs outside. Hence, we had that opportunity. Christ is in our midst. Christ has been revealed. An opportunity to take that message beyond ourselves, outside of the community, outside of the church, to reach out with outreach. It made a lot of sense to me. I hope it does to you. Hey, we play a song of the day, and we are at the point where we do that. It's a little break for me. And a little way of sharing some good energy. Here is one of my favorites, John Bilezikchin doing an Armenian dance. Thank you. unmistakable talent and energy of John Bilezikian, Oud Virtuoso, and that is off of an album called The Art of the Oud. Well, we'll have a link on our show notes today so you could check out not only that song, but all of his great music. And it is really great music. You know, I've played a lot of it throughout the years. Hope you enjoyed that one as well. I wanted to kind of play because it kind of gets us in the mood for, what kickstarts me a little bit. Considering everything that I shared with you earlier, I do need a little bit of a kickstart and a jolt. And I got one, actually. I shared with you the story of one of my boys just a few minutes ago and kind of prompted that little discussion about the kiss of peace. And another one of my sons, Christopher, he returned from Armenia this last Sunday, and that was exciting too, because first of all, at age 17, he had left here a nice, mild-mannered young man, and he returned a coffee drinker. And I gotta tell you, wait, not just coffee drinker, but surj, Armenian surj, Armenian coffee. You know which one that is, right? That's the one with the heavy grounds on the bottom. That's the one that is like, whoa. If you want to stay awake for a couple of years, at least a few weeks, you know, you just drink a couple of cups of that and just let the grind settle into your veins and your arteries. Wow. You are just wired for a while. Anyway, so he returned a coffee drinker, a surj drinker, and came back with some great, great experiences, among which was the opportunity to stay at the Datev Vank. Now, Datev is it's a special one for me. If you know my ministry over here, you know that we just recently named one of our outreach programs Datev Outreach. It is the name of a saint who actually took the name from a land. It's Krikor Datevatsi, which means St. Gregory of Datev. It is a region in Armenia. But what I love about the name is that you can use it, you can play with the words, and it actually literally means Datev, to give wings. And so hence our domestic violence program, which is now evolving into a family outreach program, is named Datev, to give wings to families, to give wings to individuals in need. So Christopher had a unique chance to, during his 1 month stay there, they did all kinds of projects, but he had a unique chance to actually spend the night at the Datev Monastery. And that is a privilege not too many people get, because first of all, it's way out there, it's way up in the hills of Armenia, which is a miracle in itself. When you look up at it, you say, wow, who built this thing? You know, how do you get something built up there? But even more, once you are up there, you marvel at the faith of a group of people who really, by all accounts, by all, let's say popular notions, would have absolutely no reason to thank a God, because popular notion is, you know, God is a Superman and you pray to him and he takes care of you. So here's a bunch of people that have prayed out there, and instead of being taken care of, they've seen one genocide, one war too many throughout their history, and yet these people continue to praise God. And their praise is not just lip service, but actually they build these huge churches and monuments to God. So you have to wonder what's going on here, and this is where I push the Armenian Orthodoxy button. I push it as Armadoxy, because it's not really where we have evolved, but what is underneath that evolution? Why did we keep that faith? What is the underlying power that we could find inside that faith? So that when times get tough, when things are difficult, when we have all kinds of reasons to reject God, we stand there and we praise God. Because in that praise we can find our salvation. We can find redemption. In that praise we define who we are. And here it is. We find our healing. Ultimately, that's what it's about, right? To be able to be healed so that we can walk away knowing that we are cared for and we are loved for. And so Christopher returns from Armenia, and he has been up at the Datev Monastery. He's also been at many of the other usual spots that you go, but here's what I really loved about the program. He was with the diocesan program called SEMA, Christian Youth Mission to Armenia. One of the beautiful things that he did is he had an opportunity to be an intern. And he worked at an orphanage for special need children. There's a few ways of looking at that. Let me just be blunt about it. Because they're special needs, I think that's why these kids have been abandoned, have been left as orphans. And amidst that cruelty to these children, you also find a sense of love and compassion. And I looked over last night, I looked over picture after picture of these children that he worked with, and some of the marvelous creations that they had made with their hand. Actually, he said some of them actually assisted him in making this small clay pomegranate, and he brought it home. It's a clay, it's a clay pomegranate. And to see these young children, all in a sense forgotten by the world, remember what we were saying, forgotten from the kiss of peace, receiving the true kisses of people that care, receiving the true kisses of love, we come full circle and understand that Christianity is not something that you keep in your church, but you reach out. You reach out and you touch people with that love that God has given you. And to me, this is where the church should be, and this is what it was. I was so moved by the stories, by the pictures that I'm seeing coming out of Armenia. And of course, yeah, you did a lot of the usual touristy things, but in the midst of all those touristy things, to be able to have that opportunity, that's a God-given opportunity. Now, let's bring that to us. Let's bring that to where we're at right now. Think of the opportunities that you and I have. We have opportunities in our lives, and primarily they should come through the church. And if our church doesn't, this is where we need to be mobilized. And I'm so happy because, you know, every week it seems like I get more email and more feedback from people who are saying that, yeah, okay, we're trying to do this in our church. Okay, I'm meeting some kind of obstacle, some kind of stubbornness on this end. And then for all those that we hear, we also hear people that are saying, I'm meeting some really positive people, people that are open to the idea. And that's what it's about. It's got to be grassroots because, let's be honest, it's not going to happen at the top. Nobody wants to shake up things. We need to shake up things and really bring this message home, that the message of Christ, the message of the kiss of peace, Christ in our midst, is one that belongs to the world. If you want peace, you need to start working for it at your own level. You know, nobody's going to do this. Nobody else is going to do it except the church. Did you read today's Sun Sash? Was it yesterday? Let me read it for you. After I selected it, I thought to myself, you know, there's more to it than I'm even leading on to this. Let's see, where is it? It is, let's see, View Blog. Here we go. Politics. This is a Ronald Reagan quote. I don't quote Ronald Reagan all the time, but this one was good. Check this out. Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize that it bears a very close relationship, close resemblance to the first, Ronald Reagan. Got that? Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize that it bears a very close resemblance to the first. Well, that's what it is. You know, we keep talking about wanting peace in the world. We keep wanting to solve many of our issues. And, you know, very surprisingly, even within the church, we go through this all the time. There are issues of domestic violence that we are dealing with. There's issues of child abuse that we deal with. There are, there's issues of human dignity. And we keep looking for politicians. We say, well, what does the government say about this? What kind of grants can we get? What is the government talking about? Let's go and talk to our congressman about it. Why? Why? What are they? They're one step away from the oldest profession. They're the second oldest profession. That's all they are. They're politics. Politicians have one thing in mind, to get reelected, okay? Not too many that really care about doing it. I grant it, they might get into politics early in the game because they wanted to do something. They wanted to change the world. They wanted to make something a little bit better. But after all is said and done, and after all the bribing, and after all the handshaking, and backstabbing, and backpatting, what happens? It's destroyed. Those good feelings are destroyed. And you get these politicians that are basically playing politics rather than playing helping games. True help begins with us. Begins with us understanding that we are responsible for our brother. We are responsible for this world. We are responsible for our lives and the lives of others. In other words, God has given us an opportunity to co-create. Yesterday morning, I did something really wild. Really wild. the cameraman over at the diocese, he's having a baby. Yes, he's having a blessed event in his life. And he said, would you come in and tape a few shows so that if my wife goes into labor in the next few weeks, I'm going to have to take off and I want to be able to produce those shows already in advance. So I literally went over there and I taped 5 shows back to back, basically covering all of August. And it was a feat. It was wild. I was on a roll, though. It was fun, too. So one of the topics that I wanted to do was really to, in honor of him having a baby, of him and his wife having a baby, share something that was very true in my life. And that was the expression of, there are no atheists in foxholes. You've probably heard that, right? Foxhole, of course, being that place where the enemy hits. That front line where people are shooting at you, where the bombs are landing. And basically you are in a life or death situation. And when you are at that moment, it's that expression comes about, there are no atheists in foxholes. Because when you realize your life is on the line, those prayers keep coming out. Whether you believed or not, you're praying, you're asking for God, you're asking for some kind of help beyond yourself. And I thought to myself at the birth of our sons, there's another place where there are no atheists, and that's in the birthing rooms. Think about it. There are no atheists in birthing rooms. If you've ever had that experience, if you've watched your child being born, if you've watched someone else's, it really doesn't matter. It's not about, it's interesting, it's not about that blood relationship. It's about that experience at that moment. You are completely overwhelmed because you are present at the creation. You are present at the beginning. When a child is born, there are no atheists. You look at him or her and you see the complete miracle of God taking place. I mean, you look at one of their fingers that has a unique imprint on it. An imprint like no other. And while you're there, take a look at that little fingernail. It's as thin as paper. As thin as paper. You can actually peel it off. And yet all the scientists in all of the universe, all the scientists that have ever lived or ever will live, can get together and they can never create one little cell from that fingernail. But God creates it. You create it. You're there. And so, it's really an opportunity for us, as we look at our faith, as we examine our faith, to realize that God invites us to be co-creator. He invites us to share with him. Just a couple days ago, I was with a gentleman. He was a chiropractor, and we were talking about different ideas, and he shared with me an idea that, you know, with his patients, it relies not only on his skill as a chiropractor and his working of the bones and the spinal cord and so on, whatever the technical things are, I don't remember, but he says equally as important is the attitude of the patient, so that the patient works with him. And I thought to myself, isn't that how God is? I mean, he gives us the beauty of this life. He gives us all the goodness in life. And he's waiting for us to have that attitude. For us to have that same kind of attitude and assist him so that we can assist, so that we can become partners with him in the healing process. But so often we don't do that, do we? So often we stay back. We hesitate from really exploiting the potential that we have within us. Can we work with God? Can we work with the things that he's given us? I think it's a big challenge. it's a challenge for us to really find our own healing, not outside of ourselves, but within. I think when you look at Armadoxy, that's what it's about. It's about really a challenge to look within, to understand that God is within us. He's inside us. He's outside us too. But that God that's inside of us is just needs somebody to work with him, right? Needs somebody to say, okay, go ahead. Do it. And that potential is in front of us. Interesting, my son returns from Armenia, and these are the thoughts that I have. These are the things that come to my head. I think that there's such a big message that's waiting to be delivered to us. And those messages are all around us, whether they're in Armenia, they're here in the States, in Canada, in Europe. Speaking of which, he told me that even while out there, he ran into a deacon from Canada who had heard some of our broadcasting. And it's interesting how far the reach of E-Apostle has gotten, which probably I'm going to address in a few minutes after Susie makes her announcement. Well, this is probably a good place for us to take that break right now. I did want to tell you that, you know, it's been like almost 2 months. It's going on a month and a half right now, 6 episodes to her name is Anush, who is doing the Inside the Pomegranate as a separate podcast. I want to run her little spot right now, and we'll come back to her with an announcement from Susie about all the wonderful things that are going on at E-Apostle. And wait till you hear what I have to tell you too, okay? Here's Anush.
Hi, this is Anush, and I'm excited about my new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. I happen to love pomegranates, not only for the incredible fruit that they are and how pretty they are, but for the beautiful symbolism that they stand for. The pomegranate is one of the most recognizable symbols for our homeland of Armenia. In Armenian mythology, it was the symbol of fertility and good fortune, and a guardian against the evil eye. This beautiful fruit adorns our stone-carved khatkars and manuscripts. Go to any Armenian art event and you're sure to find pomegranates in the artwork. It's our symbol. For me, it's a symbol of my heritage, and it's also the symbol of imagination, creativity, and life. I mean, open up a pomegranate and look at the seeds that spill out. Each one is ripe with hope, possibility, and sweetness. It's a lot like life, right? My life is full and juicy like a pomegranate, and that's what this podcast will be about. Life, ripe and juicy. So I hope you tune in weekly and take a peek inside the pomegranate. We'll talk about all kinds of things like life, family, applied Christianity, helping others, creating, imagining, wellness. It's all here inside the pomegranate.
Inside the Pomegranate, do check it out. It is at epostle.net and everywhere else that you find our great podcast on Blueberry, on Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Granddaddy iTunes. Hey, listen, here's Susie to tell you about E-Apostle.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Well, Susie says there are so many ways to help out, different ways that you could lend your support. And probably the easiest way and the fastest way is really to share our links, to tell people about it. And I know so many of you are out there, you know, sharing it on Facebook and here and there. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the comments that you send our way. But you know what? It's an effort. The Armenian Church, it has this golden treasure. To me, it's like Christ's talking about the pearl, you know, the merchant who sells everything that he has just to acquire that one pearl that he has found. And in many senses, that Armenian Church is that kingdom of heaven. It is that pearl that is unfortunately lost many times. It's out in the field and people are looking for it. It's right under them. They need to know where to look. And I hope that we're pointing you in that direction. I want you to get involved with us. This is Epostle, a really easy name to remember. That's Apostle with an E, to, you know, the E for electronic and expanding and all kinds of good things. Energy, right? Electrons, energy. There's a lot of good stuff that you could do with the E. So it's epostle.net. And you'll find not only this podcast there, you'll find Compass, which is really one of my exciting ones because it talks about ideas whose time has arrived. Did you catch Pope Francis? Did you catch Pope Francis recently, what he said about gays? He said that, who am I to judge? I mean, did that come right out of Epostle? No, you're not going to believe this but I have the proof because we have the dateline. I'm going to put a tag on our show notes. Do check it out. I mean, over a month ago, we talked about these issues, about who am I to judge? There's Pope Francis saying that. Who am I to judge? And while it doesn't mean the policies of the Catholic Church have changed, it does mean that the tone has changed. I think that's a nice way of saying what we're doing over here, too. It's about changing the tone. The faith is there. The faith is beautiful. It is really uncorrupted. It is there from the time of Christ. Now, can you tag on to it? Can you latch on to it? Can it help you grow? I think it can. That's the power of Epostle. That's what we're doing in what we call this experiment called Armadoxy. And with that, I think we'll bring an end to today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope it was an enjoyable ride with you, all the things we talked about. For the wonderful team that puts together this show, I want to thank you and invite you to join us during the week on our website as well as on Facebook, where you can like us and you can do all kinds of stuff. So for the wonderful crew who put this together, for Susie, our producer out in Mammoth, believe it or not, out there in Mammoth, California. For Vahir, our red man, this is Father Vasquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.